First, after several previous failed attempts to pass in Congress, the Hmong Veterans Service Recognition Act was signed into law by President Trump late last month. The bill was introduced by Congressman Jim Costa, a Democrat whose district in California includes one of the largest Hmong communities in the U.S. Here he is in 2015 when he unsuccessfully reintroduced the bill.
This legislation would allow the burial of these Hmong veterans who live here today and their families in national cemeteries, like the San Joaquin Valley National Cemetery in Merced County. This recognition is long overdue. We granted it to Filipino soldiers who fought side by side with American soldiers in World War II. I hope my colleagues will support this legislation to ensure that those Hmong veterans and their families receive the proper recognition by providing them burial rights that they have earned.
Chia Yuyi Vang is a professor in the Department of History at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and is the director of UWM's Hmong Diaspora Studies Program. Chia, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Can you briefly tell us how Hmong soldiers came to fight alongside American troops in the Vietnam War?
Well, it's a very long story, right? I think we know a lot about what happened during the Vietnam era, and we know that it wasn't, you know, that the name of the Vietnam War has come to be sort of an inaccurate description of what actually happened in that part of the world. So it says Vietnam War, but I think as I've talked to many people, the people in Asia call it the American War. So in fact, it's, you know, called the Vietnam War, but it involved, you know, many other countries in the region, and in particular Laos and Cambodia, largely because they share a border with Vietnam. And so it's a long story, but to make it short for our purpose today, the U.S. was really building up its involvement in Vietnam. And as we know, by the late 1950s, the northern Vietnamese leaders had decided that they would support the South in a more aggressive response to American buildup. And so part of why the Hmong became entangled in this war was because of the strategic location in which they lived, near the Vietnamese border, partly in the northeastern part of Laos. And so they became a part of what the strategy of the United States, recruiting, involving many ethnic minorities to fight on their side.
How many Hmong, do we know how many Hmong served during the course of what you said is considered the American War in Southeast Asia?
Mm-hmm. Well, the estimates are that from, you know, the early 1960s, 61, 62, when, you know, Kennedy really supported these counterinsurgency, you know, efforts around the world, it began with a small number, with just about 1,000 people trained by American special forces. But by the end of the war, the estimated number of Hmong troops have been about 40,000. And we have to remember that this is out of a population of about roughly 300,000 at that time. So about 40,000 Hmong combatants fought, you know, on behalf of the United States in what is called, you know, the Secret War of Laos.
And how many Hmong ended up coming to the United States after that?
So if we think about the larger Vietnam War refugees, right, after 1975, after what most people remember as the fall of Saigon, we have about close to 2 million people from the former Indochinese colonies of Laos, Vietnam, and Cambodia who left those countries after the Vietnam War. And about 1.4 million came to the United States. And of those, I mean, the majority are Vietnamese, but of that 1.4 million refugees that came to the U.S., about 10%, right? Mm-hmm. About 140,000, a little bit more than 140,000 were Hmong.
And Chia, how is military service on behalf of the Americans viewed in the Hmong community?
For the Hmong, I think for the soldiers, for the officers who served at the time, I think it was a very honorable thing to do because they were also serving the United States, again, fighting, you know, communism at the time. But they were also very much protecting, you know, our families as well. Mm-hmm. And I say our because, you know, I was a child then. And so for them, it was an honorable service that they were, you know, sacrificing themselves to protect, you know, our people as well as fighting for this greater cause. But I think the honest truth is that many people at the time, now in retrospect, you know, in hindsight it's 2020, but at the time, even the military leaders, I've interviewed many, many people, and if people are very honest with themselves, now we know about, you know, what happened and how the U.S., the CIA recruited Hmong to be their soldiers in Laos. But at the time, many people didn't know the larger geopolitical issues. So the awareness became increased as they lived in this country. So it's a very honorable thing for them. And now that they better understand the larger political issues, many who served are very proud for having, you know, participated. But then they also are very bitter. I think many talk about the fact that family and friends and the thousands of people who died, and then the war ended the way it did, right? And so mm-hmm. they are displaced from their homes. Many appreciate being in this country, the opportunities for, you know, people like my generation, the children. But for the elders who served, I mean, they were born to live a very different life, and then they're transplanted into a society that's completely different. Mm-hmm. So whereas they were in a place where they felt honored and they felt they were in charge and they were providing for their families, and then they come to the United States and many have to start all over. In many ways, they didn't speak English. They've had very limited formal education. So just that kind of, you know, overview of their experiences of war, becoming refugees, and then migrating to a foreign land. It's been, I think, a very contentious, a difficult journey for the Hmong people who resettle in the United States. But I would like to say that I have traveled all over, you know, the different places in Europe and in South America that other Hmong refugees resettled. And I would like to say that despite the challenges in the United States, Hmong Americans have had a great deal of support, more than the other locations, largely because of the higher number of refugees who came to this country. And many of us have settled in, you know, as you know, in places like California, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, the three largest state Hmong populations, and people are then able to support each other. So the isolation is initially very difficult, but over time, people build community and a sense of place and sense of belonging much easier than in very isolated places like in Argentina or in other places in Europe.
We're talking with Chia Yuyi Vang about the recently passed Hmong Veterans Service Recognition Act. She's a professor in the Department of History at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and is the director of UWM's Hmong Diaspora Studies Program. And before we wrap up, Chia, I want to make sure we do talk about the Hmong Veterans Service Recognition Act that was signed into law by President Trump late last month. What does this act specifically provide?
Well, it's sort of a progression, right? Hmong veterans, right when they set foot on this country, have been fighting for a very long time, beginning in, you know, the late 1970s, to because of the, you know, the secret war, right? It wasn't supposed to happen. It was happening. Congress appropriated funding over time. But in terms of the American public, people didn't know that exactly the nature of the war in Laos. So Hmong showed up in this country, and then the education began. So the awareness of their involvement and the extent of the sacrifices and struggles and tragedy for our people became more known only because we became refugees and lived in this country. So this bill is a sort of a part of a long fight that veterans in the community and Americans who served in Laos or American political leaders who have been fighting to recognize Hmong. As you may already know, in 2000, President Clinton signed into law the Hmong Veterans Naturalization Act, which, you know, helped to ease the citizenship process for veterans and their families. So this particular legislation, the Hmong Veterans Recognition Act, is very instrumental, I think, for the people who served as well as for the younger generation, because we understand more about our sacrifices. And I think having the United States, you know, having Congress, having the U.S. recognize the services of our elders, for the veterans, they've been waiting for this for a long time. And this legislation, basically what it does is that it enables, it changes, you know, part of the federal legislation that allows veterans to be buried at American National Cemetery. So the legislation is a big win in a way for the Hmong veterans. For those who served and supported U.S. Armed Forces in Laos during the Vietnam War, they are able to be buried at national cemeteries, with the exception of Arlington National Cemetery.
And the way the act is written, my understanding is that this applies to veterans who pass away now and in the future. Obviously, many of these veterans are quite elderly and many have passed away already. Do we know how many veterans who are still alive this would possibly affect?
Yeah, the estimate, there's a number of Hmong veterans groups, so average about, they estimate about maybe a little over 6,000 of the Secret War veterans who are still alive who could benefit from this legislation.
Well, Chia, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chia Yuyi Vang is a professor in the Department of History at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and is the director of UWM's Hmong Diaspora Studies Program. She joined us to discuss the significance of the recently passed Hmong Veterans Service Recognition Act.